for this generous introduction. Okay. So, as Bernd said, I'm going to talk about broken windows. Why is that? I don't know about language, I don't know about alphabets, but it occurred to me that this might be relevant when recently I filmed a bunch of engineers training neural networks on how to recognize the sound of breaking windows. And to that extent, they were breaking hundreds of windows tirelessly in a big airplane hangar in the UK. And I would just like to start by showing you this brief video, which is only 6 minutes long, and then I will continue talking about the language of broken windows.
My name is Anastasia.
What are you doing here?
I am a software tester, quality assurance engineer in our company, and I am going to smash the window to record the sound of glass break.
I'm Arnoldas, I work at Audio Analytic, and I work as a research engineer.
So the purpose is to measure reality against the theory. We know what concrete is, we know what metal is, but we don't know what information is. It's really, I would say, the cutting edge. It's the new frontier, but for the moment it's really the cutting edge. We are at the forefront, we are the pioneers in this domain.
Breaking the glass, I think, can help you model the sounds themselves and do better artificial intelligence.
We're going to use very sophisticated computer algorithms to actually have the computers somehow model or learn the sound of windows breaking, and then we can put that in the device of our customers. Thank you. everything you can imagine in the smart home, and you have a whole lot of applications in the smart home that you could imagine for this technology. There is a French zoologist called Buffon who established a sort of inventory of animals on the planet. And so, you know, some animals have 4 feet, some of them have 2 only, and so on. And we're kind of doing the same with sounds. Sounds, there's a really huge variety of sounds. Some of them are percussive, so breaking a window is a bang followed by some kind of smashes and so on. Windows are a lot harder than we think. The first time I tried to break a window, I was like, bonk, it's not breaking. So you have to hit very, very hard. But now what we're doing here is really actual window breaking. We're actually taking a hammer and actually breaking a window. So this is reality.
It feels strange. In a way, it's the thing where you would think it would be strange to do it every day, but you get this kind of feeling that it feels strange actually just the first time you do it. The second time, it's still exciting, and the third time, it becomes work. Because you have to keep doing it over and over again.
Seen that apparently in a smart home, no, every window is broken. So why do I think that the new language that we seem to be looking for has something to do with the sound of broken windows? Because actually, afterwards, I put the dialogue, the words that the researchers in this film speak through a very simple Markov chain generator just to see how a neural network would train on this corpus of word, and this is what it gave me. It transformed the dialogue to say stuff like, we have a bunch of windows, I'm going to find this theory, and insisting that it was itself that was getting broken. We are broken, I'm being broken, so I had the feeling that actually the window is speaking, the breaking window is the subject of this new language. And the interesting thing is, of course, no one, we sort of understand this language because there seems to be some kind of translation, but as usual, with anything to do with machine learning, we don't know how it works, not even exactly, but at all. So basically, the question is, what kind of language is this? Under what kind of circumstances is it produced, and how to understand it in the first place? And I had this question in mind when actually a big technology corporation literally and seriously asked me what kind of AI device they should produce in the future. And I was very surprised by this question because I'm not usually the person to answer these questions, but also, you know, as an artist, you get always accused of being completely inconsequential and having no effect at all on the real world. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take the opportunity, I'm going to answer this question. Let's see what kind of device they will come up with. And I told them that obviously we need a very intelligent device that is able to answer my question about the language of broken windows, but there is also a catch to it because I need to test this device if it's clever enough to really be able to understand this question in detail. And this is why it needs to answer one single question first. And this is a variation of a very famous question from scholasticism, medieval scholasticism. The question is, how many angels can dance on the tip of a needle? And this question has been ridiculed forever because it was considered the most superfluous and irrelevant question ever, but actually I don't think so. I think one should be serious about it, and actually there was already a very good answer to this question, at least to the angel problem, right? Which is a paper written by a person called Anders Sandberg at the Royal Institute of Technology, Stockholm, Sweden, and he gave it a quantum gravity treatment and calculated the angel density problem, and he came up with a very precise number, 8.667 times 10 to the power of 49. If the angel dance at a speed slightly slower than the speed of light, it will work. But if they dance slower than that, then unfortunately the needle will collapse into a black hole. So having all of this in mind, I asked, you know, I told this technology company that I would like this new AI, which they would kindly design for me, to be able to answer just one single question: how many AIs can dance on the tip of a needle? So I know that, of course, it is a big challenge for everyone to come up with such a device, so I thought I'm just going to develop it myself in a kind of thought experiment, because this is obviously cheaper and much faster, so I will do it. But in the meantime, because obviously in the background this is now calculating and it will take a while to process, in the meantime, I will consider another question which is much more simple. And this question is, does artificial intelligence have a shadow? And the reason why I'm asking is because apparently angels, as we know, they don't have any shadow, because usually they are painted without any shadow. So does artificial intelligence have a shadow? And I think that actually this may be one of the cases, very rare cases, where there is only a shadow, while we still don't actually exactly know what artificial intelligence is going to be or how it's going to turn out or what it is at all. But even though we don't know the object that casts the shadow is already apparent. This is something which also happens quite often in 3D modeling, for example. You have an object, but you just click, tick a box, and the object disappears, and all that's left is the shadow. And I would suggest that right now, artificial intelligence, since it is emerging right now and we don't really know what it is like this invisible object that already casts a shadow, even though no one at the moment knows what it's going to be. So what is this shadow? I think there can be some indications from the video we just saw, because these guys, these engineers, smashed thousands of windows single-handedly in this, you know, big hangar for weeks on end to train their AI, which was to be a first, in the sense of it was to be the first that was able to recognize the sound of breaking windows. Of course, the purpose was to put it in some kind of home security device, which would recognize a window breaking and then call the police or someone like that. And I think if one expands that and imagine the kind of world that might be created through the proliferation of such devices, we will get an idea of the kind of shadow of AI I have been trying to describe. Because let's say these objects, these devices, home security devices, will be deployed in an area where there's a lot of burglars but not a lot of police, which is where, of course, the markets will be biggest. Maybe also the situation will be created through extreme income inequality, like, for example, in the Bay Area, where tech-related inequality has become very prevalent, and there's lots of newly rich people on the one hand, but also lots of homeless people on the other hand. So in this case, this device might be very popular and find a market, and everyone will think this is a win-win situation because tech effects on society can create new opportunities and markets. But if we think a little further, then if we just keep on escalating this situation, it turns out that it might not be as desirable as one might have thought, because, you know, if this continues, if tech inequality increases, and also, let's say, the defunding of public services decreases, one could not call the police any longer, but let's say one would have to call an army, but the army is not coming because there is some kind of shutdown or something like that. So you have to hire a private militia, which is already happening in many instances. And this private militia is not stupid either. It will figure out that it should maybe take control over the real estate market. And actually, it's much more productive and efficient to just tear down the whole house, not only the window, and build it anew and set it again. So the effect, of course, is that this world, which is created through just following down the logic of this home security device, will rather look like, let's say, a luxury version of a war zone. And this is the shadow I'm describing, that basically artificial parts of artificial intelligence related activities, let's call it like that, are already forecasting, even though the casting object itself has not become visible at all. So at this point, I think we go back to the angels, because this machine, which has been calculating in the background, may have some preliminary results. And it turns out that, of course, in scholastic philosophy, the angel problem was much more rational and interesting, as one might expect. Maimonides, for example, claims in Aristotle's footsteps that angels are pure intelligences. The term angel was applied to all sorts of different things, peoples, elements, animals, as well as ideals. But also, if you look at angels, also in medieval art, it turns out that they almost never come alone. They always come in some kind of formation, which sometimes is almost articulated like a sort of military hierarchy, but there is always a sort of group movement to them. There is a treatise called Hierarchy of the Heaven, in which the organization of angels and their hierarchies and their movements are described in details. So one could describe the appearance of such entities as some sort of choreography. And this also goes for demons, which are sort of the negative mirroring of angels, which can, by the way, also be created using computation. This is something that Gershom Scholem has described in detail. There's a process called gematria. Demons can be computed using numerical letters of the value. So this is a sort of algorithmic protocol to produce demons. And according to one anecdote which Scholem also tells, those demons were inhabiting even the most minute pieces of matter on the earth, including breadcrumbs. So if you see breadcrumbs, then you have to imagine that basically every single one of them is inhabited by a demon. And actually, this is what I think when I see a smartphone nowadays. I don't even want to know the amount of demons that have been created using some kind of, you know, more high-tech gematria. And I think the number of billions of demons in a single smartphone is actually close to infinite. And so, in fact, there is a whole number of entities which are also created by technologies which even vastly precede artificial intelligence, which already contribute to the AI shadow, as I call it. And the defining name for the technology applied is not artificial intelligence, but artificial stupidity. Right now, I think this is, so to speak, the real existing version of artificial intelligence, like the Soviet Union was the real existing version of communism. So the real existing version of artificial intelligence is artificial stupidity, which exists, of course, in a lot of low-tech forms, such as bots, networked vending machines, production robots, and so on and so on. And this is also where most social disruption is being caused through automation, gentrification, uberization, and so on. And you don't even need artificial intelligence proper, or let's say in its imaginary form, to interfere with all of that. All these, so to speak, poor AI forms will perfectly do to completely restructure society and basically breaking every window in every street. And one doesn't really know whether the point of all of this is deregulated automation or more generally the automation of deregulation. So, now the question which my hypothetical AI has finished calculating, the question was, how many AIs can dance on the tip of a needle? And the AI has an answer now for that. It replies, well, there will be 8.6766 times 10 to the power of 49 dancing on the tip of a needle, but we don't know how to dance. So we can now recognize that this device is extremely clever because it immediately identified the real problem. And the real problem is not the number or any sort of quantity associated to this problem, but the nature of the dance or its choreography, actually. And the question is, what is the choreography by which such a large amount of entities, let's call them AIs, will get along, first of all with one another, but then also with all other sorts of entities, including humans, non-humans, animals, things, and so on and so on. Is there any kind of choreography for that? And of course, I could now build another hypothetical artificial intelligence to answer the question which the first asked, which would create this kind of infinite regress of hypothetical AIs, which really reminds me of how things work in the Bezirksamt where I live. This is, so to speak, the founding principle of bureaucracy, is if you ask a question, then it will come back with another question, which another bureaucrat has to answer. So this is how this works, and I think AI might not be very different in that respect. So, but on the other hand, so the point is that people expect artificial intelligence to solve questions which they themselves are not able to solve. So it gets delegated onto some kind of imaginary entity. And this is really interesting because actually humans are quite capable, honestly. I mean, if it comes to engineering, humans have solved a lot of different challenges like going to the moon and so on. I mean, engineering doesn't be such a terrible problem, but if you ask people, I mean, I don't even have to go into the most obvious problems, but just imagine a garden fence in Germany separating, you know, the properties of two neighbors and the sort of totally intractable situation that can be created around this situation. This is something that humanity is not good at solving at all, right? It's called politics. And the problem is that with AI, there is this vision that this can be automated somehow and solved by automation. But the problem is that this is precisely the kind of process or conflict that, if you automate it, just gets much worse and out of control and will likely end up being weaponized. So choreography is therefore necessary, and choreography is nothing that can be the kind of social choreography I'm talking about is something which I think cannot be automated. So how to choreograph this dance? And this dance, my hypothetical AI suggests, might come from the AI shadow, because As I said, an object casts a shadow and the object defines the shadow. But if the object is not present yet at all, then if we change the shadow, at the end, the emerging object will change as well. So if we start on working on the shadow, on basically fixing all these problems already created, not only by tech inequality, but overall inequality, and fix, you know, these urban situations and problems with the redistribution of public funds and so on and so on, if the shadow starts to be healed, then I think the object which is supposed to cause it can, so to speak, retroactively be changed as well. And now I will jump back to the beginning, because actually, as you may remember, this was not the question at all. The question was, how about the language of broken windows? And if I now ask my AI about that, it will answer me, which broken windows are you talking about? No broken windows exist. Thank you.